and find enjoyment. Well, that's something to keep in your soul. Solomon struggled with that question. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. That's his testimony, part of his testimony. Also wrote two psalms of praise to God, the book of Proverbs. So God really worked in his life, even though he had a lot of struggles. He had ups and downs in his ability to trust God. So if you're there, Solomon is a man who could give you some good direction in terms of God helping him through helping him through doubts, helping you and I through doubts. I knew a man from Somerset Alliance Church. He turned to Christ and said, "I trust Jesus," simply from reading the book of Ecclesiastes. Because when he said it, read it, he said, "That's the way I feel about life sometimes." So God can help us out a lot through his good word in Ecclesiastes. A little bit about Solomon. His parents were David and Bathsheba. They had a real rough start as a couple, you might remember. Probably should have never got married. Got married. David had just murdered. He's involved in murder just a short time later, 2 years or so. Solomon's born. So born to a family, rocky family, like your family and my family. So Solomon grows up. He prays that he would be a wise king. God gives him great wisdom. He's the wisest and wealthiest king in the Old Testament. All right? And so he had many accomplishments. Builds the first temple so people could worship the Lord the right way. First temple, built houses, not just one, parks, many parks, reservoirs, gardens. I mean, he was a big deal in terms of what he did. Managed 12,000 horses for horse lovers. 1,400 chariots, more cattle and sheep than anybody. He was, the top dog. 300 wives, 700 girlfriends. Okay. A man in search of, obviously, the problem wasn't with the 700 and 300. Not there. The problem was his soul, right? Somebody was picking that up there. Thank you. Jesus mentioned Solomon twice as an example of great things. Jesus saw great flowers and said, "Man, God provides for those flowers, and they look better than Solomon in all his glory." So you come out of the store, and you have that, what a fantastically good-looking tie on, and you think, "I am the cat's meow with this brand-new tie." I'm telling you. Somebody in your family points to a couple of dandelions and says, "There, they look better than you." God grew them. All right? So that's what Jesus saying he provides. And then Solomon was mentioned by Jesus that for a long ways, the Queen of the South came to see him and hear him because he had a lot of wisdom. And Jesus said, but somebody with a lot more wisdom than Solomon was among the people, and that was Jesus. So if you want to know true wisdom for all time, Gloria mentioned, that absolute, solid wisdom, you say, give me God's word, what Jesus said, very life-changing and powerful. So Solomon had a lot of success, tons of accomplishment, and at the end of all that, he said, "Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. After all I've done, I feel like I'm chasing after the wind." When I graduated from college, the ceremony, somebody read part of Ecclesiastes. Time to be born, time to die. Time to build up, time to tear down. But they didn't read, which I thought it might be okay if they read, "Meaningless, meaningless. These last 4 years have been meaningless." Obviously, I wasn't too happy in my graduation time. But Solomon, he hits despair in his life because he says, "I got to find meaning in life. And I want life to make sense to me." That's a little bit of an ego problem right there. To declare, "Well, life doesn't make sense because it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, after all, my understanding of life isn't at the final standard for the rationality of the universe." That would be a little bit selfish. But that's what Solomon is dealing with. Life centered on Him or life centered on the Lord? When he looks to the Lord, suddenly his soul starts to get some health. So Solomon, he runs after different things in life, much like you and I. We should be able to identify with him. First, he goes after pleasure. He says, I refuse my heart no pleasure. And he said, after all that, it was a waste of time. You might say, well, I haven't tried that yet. I have to try that. Solomon is there. Let us know. Look, at the end, you're going to find emptiness. If you think the answer to life is just pleasure all the time. You know, after all, isn't life about being happy? So I'm happy. That's what's the most important thing. No. God's most important, and he'll give you some joy in the long run. Solomon, after the pleasure thing, he goes after accomplishments. Best king, best parks, best place of worship. That sounds starting to get close to the Christian's toes at that point. Okay? Best parks, best king, best place of worship. And you know what he said? Well, that was a waste of time. Because he wanted to know God in his soul. Okay, not just what was going on the outside. Solomon goes for the cash. He thinks the cash, security in life, and abundance. And he says, you know, I realize even though I have a lot that I'm going to die empty-handed. That's a humbling thing. That the wealthiest guy in the world and the poorest guy in the world, they die the same way. Empty-handed. And they go to eternity. That's why we could sing, you know, when we look toward the Lord, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the Lord I cling, or simply to your cross, Jesus, I cling. Lord, I'm going to have to rely on you for my final moments and also the moments before that. So Solomon, he faced his own limitations. He faced despair, and God got his attention through chasing after things. He met God in the despair. Like every good student, when they take a test, they say, what's it going to be like at the end of this course called life? You know, what's expected of me? Am I going to pass? Am I going to get an A? What's the teacher going to say at the end of the class? Or could it be that the teacher comes and loves me so much, he takes the test for me? He takes the test for me. And he says, I'm going to have my goodness here and my love here and my faithfulness here, and I'm going to give it to you, dear failing student, because you need this very desperately. You might have known students in class, maybe it was you, who they were just last in class at everything. You know. And in our own souls, without Christ, that's us. You know, we need a Savior, somebody to give us the gift of holiness. So the Lord does this for Solomon. Solomon starts to discover this when all the despair happens in his life. He tried the pleasure thing, nothing. Works, what he did thing, nothing. Cash thing, nothing. Relationship thing, empty. When he put God connected to those items in life and used the phrase repeatedly in Ecclesiastes, the gift of God. He said, when there was pleasure, I looked at it as a gift of God. His soul was different. When he had work, he said, I can even find satisfaction in work. This is a gift of God. Okay, he started to see the Lord as the ultimate meaning through which his soul would be saved. And that you and I could do the same. You know, God's trustworthy to do that for us. There's an urban legend about two people taking a behavioral science test. And they said, we're going to put you through these things at the end of which we do an MRI to see how your brain is functioning, whether it lights up or whether it's, you know, not too on the ball. So the one guy, he said, they told him, your job in this behavioral science test is we give you $10,000 a week for a month. You go out and spend that $10,000 with eat at the best restaurants, best clothing, best places to go, you know, everything. And go for it. You're like the Ed McMahon winner. Okay, only higher amount there. I wonder where those people are. I never see like 30 years later, you know, I remember winning that. I'm still happy. Hopefully they're not, you know, miserable in the poorhouse somewhere. So this one guy does that. The other guy, they say, we're going to give you an unskilled labor job for 1 month. You're going to work with other people. You're going to go out and clear the land, knock down some trees, get all that brush out of there, make it real nice, because we want to build a home for people who need a home. So that's what that guy does for a month. At the end of those 2 month experiences, the first guy who had the steak every day, they look at his brain. There was parts of his brain were not functioning right. Okay, there was not a lot of circulation going on up there. Okay, it was darkness. There was confusion. And he was all over the map with his thinking process. Okay, and he just said, you know, when I first ate that first steak, it tastes like steak. The 25th steak, you know, it tasted like stale jumbo on dry bread. He said, it's not even doing it for me anymore. Okay, but the second guy, when they did the MRI on him, when he just did things for the meaning of life, for blessing others, and he saw the work as a gift from God. They took an MRI of his brain. Math, good circulation, bright red. He got the, you know, he got, it's functioning up there. He's finding fulfillment, he is. And Solomon came to that conclusion that life with God brought satisfaction and life without God brought the messed up MRI, not just for his brain, but for his soul. And then God invites us, you know, trust him. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. That's what Psalm 62 says. And you and I can do that. You know, we don't want to chase the wind. When we do chase the wind, we bump our head and learn from our sins and mistakes. Isn't it good to learn from our sins and mistakes? We God helps us. We can make a turn with his help in repentance and grace. And heaven becomes sweet for sure. But a day with God becomes sweet too. In all we do. So we get, oh yeah, I can find joy in work and relationships. Even they can be a source of satisfaction. Hey, thank you, whoever you are in my life, for being a gift from God. I find satisfaction in what God's doing in your life. It's a good thing. And Solomon, you know, we look at him sometimes, we think, Solomon, he stunk as a believer. He started out good, but he fell on his face. So don't fall on your face. There's a little bit more going on there than that. You know, God was there. Met him in the despair. He needed to do that. Met him in the satisfaction. He needed that also. So we ask the Lord to be that way for us. Let's pray together. Lord, we're a little bit like Solomon in terms of running after a lot of things. We don't find satisfaction in stuff, even in key relationships, unless we say, well, this is a gift from God. So we're going to follow God in the midst of this part of life. And, Lord, we'll find our soul's gladness in you. So help us be like Solomon. He concluded by saying, well, fear God and follow him with his help. Fear God and keep his commandments. This seems to be what gets our soul rolling the best. So might it be so for each dear one here. In your name we pray. Amen.